So now we've reached the top. And now I want to speak about a little more about the symbology here. I've spoken of it in Hindu terms. I want now to speak about it in Buddhist terms. The great text, and if you can get hold of it, do. It's in paperback, is the Tibetan Book of the Dead, as translated by Evans Wentz. There's a very fine introduction, a multiple introduction, one by Evans Wentz, one by Sir John Woodruff, who's one of the greatest English explainers of the tantric systems, the systems that I'm talking about here. And there's a commentary also by Jung, who points out the relationship of all these symbols to our Western psychology. It's a marvelous, rich, very wonderful book. Now, this book tells about the 49 days that elapsed between death and rebirth. The goal, however, is not to be reborn. So that if you can stop the descent to rebirth, well and good. Beside you, as you lie dying, will be your chaplain, the Lama, who has been your spiritual guide. And he will tell you where you are on this mythological journey into the realm beyond the realms of waking and dream consciousness. Beyond waking, it's really mostly dream consciousness that you're in. The notion is that at the moment of death, you behold the light, the void of the light, the radiance of the light. If you are not ready, however, you can't hold to it. It is so terrifying because you want to hold to your own personality, and it blasts you. So the Lama will be saying, when your last breath is breathed, you are now before the light. Try to hold to it. I've taught you how to do it. Now go to work. Hang on. If you have read Aldous Huxley's Time Must Have a Stop, it's based on this book. A man dies, and instead of holding to the bright light, he remembers the lovely body of his mistress, and that brings him down pretty fast. This is the experience of the seventh chakra at the top. Now, if you fail here, you come down to the level of the sixth chakra, the level of the radiant, beneficent aspects of the divine. And in the Buddhist system, these will be represented as Buddhas. Buddhas of various amplitude. The first is called Vajrachana. It's a Buddha holding the thunderbolt, which symbolizes illumination. And then we come down the scale to the Buddha of the east, of the south, of the west, and of the north. And then to all five of these Buddhas together in the form of a great circle with Vajrachana in the center. The Buddha of the east is called Vajratara, the one who supports the thunderbolt. And he represents the integrity of the illuminating experience. The Buddha of the south is called Padmasambhava, Ratnasambhava, the one born of a jewel. And he represents the radiance of beauty of illumination. And the Buddha of the west is Amitabha, the Buddha of inexhaustible radiance. And he is the great Buddha of love and compassion. And the Buddha, then, of the north is called Amoghasiddhi, and he represents the Buddha of directed effort. Each of these has a color associated with them: white in the east, yellow in the south, red in the west, green in the north. And if you still haven't been able to release yourself from the fall, you come to the stage, then, of the fifth chakra Buddhas. And these are horrendous. Now, when you see the Buddhist tankas, those Buddhist long pictures from Tibet, you'll see many horrendous-looking figures with great swords and terrifying faces, often with many faces, often standing on great monsters and holding many weapons in their many hands and embracing their consorts, because the male and female principles always work together here. There's no notion of God or anything like that as being exclusively male, as we have in our somewhat patriarchally prejudiced tradition. Here, the two principles work together. And these horrendous figures are the ones who are smashing our hold on ourselves. The beneficent ones would have released us if we could have let go, Now, we haven't let go, so now comes real force. But the thing to realize is that these horrendous ones are the same as the beneficent ones, only in the more brutal aspect, because we have been brutal in holding on to ourselves. And again, we get the five in the regular series going on down. And this level, now here's an interesting point, they represent vices. The vice of egoism, the vice of pride. But the vice of pride is simply the negative aspect of the virtue of beauty. The vice of lust, which is the negative aspect of the virtue of compassion. The vice of jealousy, which is simply the negative aspect of the virtue of directed intention or effort. And so, by carrying through our vices, we can achieve redemption. And the Lama will say, remember, these are simply forms of your own mind consciousness.